Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're tuned into the Nafs Connection podcast with me, Seema Azmat. I'm an ACC credentialed life coach with the International Coaching Federation, ICF, and a certified faith-based self-discipline coach. I coach Muslim women live a fulfilled life connected to their innate awareness and tawakkul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to fulfill the purpose of their life and deen through self-discipline without the fear of judgments and failures. We are in season 2 of the Spiritual Connection Stories series. Listen to me talk to my guests about their spiritual connection stories, their pivotal moments, inspirations and aspirations with regards to their connection with themselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with an hope that this creates an inspiration for you too, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, my dear listeners. Today I have with me Sister Rahima Udushote. She is the lead coach at Impact You Limited, where she coaches and guides women coaches and professionals to be the authority in their niche and impact millions by writing their life-altering nonfiction books. I'm going to hand over to her now and allow her to introduce herself and add more, inshallah. Welcome, Sister Rahima. I'm so happy to have you here.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here, Sister Seema. Thank you for having me.
Alhamdulillah. So, Sister, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself, inshallah?
Okay. Yes, as you say, my name is Rahima Udushote. I'm a book coach. So, yeah, other things I love doing. I enjoy meeting women, like-minded women, so that we can rub minds together, especially Muslim women, because I'm so passionate about women, development, and successfulness, and our success, to their success. And I love writing too, you know, from the name book, which you know that I love writing. So I'm an author, so a best-selling author. My book, Taken for Granted, was published last December 2020. So again, what do I love? I love a lot of things, and basically I come from Nigeria. Yes, that's West Africa. And I'm married with 4 kids. What else? Okay, yes, my profession. Before I became a coach, of course I went to university. I studied civil engineering. Mashallah, but I'm not using it to practice. Like, that's what I studied. Then after that, I now jumped to accounting. I did the professional exams and I became a chartered accountant, and I'm not using that also. So like, it's book. I just found out that book writing and book coaching is what I really love to do. So I had to leave those things after working for 13 plus years. In the oil and gas industry. So I discovered my purpose, and I just have to let go. And because of that, I left my paying job in August 2019, to go full time as a coach and an author. Alhamdulillah.
So interesting. It's interesting to hear you talk about purpose, and it's and finding your purpose, like experimenting with the different educational backgrounds and things like that. It's been a little similar for me as well, like before I found coaching and my passion in coaching, mashallah, alhamdulillah. So it's interesting that you spoke about purpose, because I think that allows us to dive right into the topic for today, which is the spiritual connection, you know. I generally start off with this question, which is like, what was your earliest understanding of who Allah is?
Okay. Early understanding of who Allah is. Okay, that will take me back to my childhood days. But when I was in primary school, yes, actually, we are 4 in the family. So my parents ensured that we attend the Islamia, what they call it here, that's the Quranic school, you know. So after the secular school, the normal school, after coming back, by 4 p.m., we go for Islamia. And so it was from there, of course, that I started Islam, knowing Islam better. And I think, yes, during this period, I was introduced to what Allah is, who He is. Of course, now I might not remember the full how it started, how I understand Allah to be right, but I always know that there's someone, of course, that is our creator that we need to pray to, because we're encouraged to pray at that young age, that even when we miss it, we're in trouble. So back then, in those days, that's in the 80s, the Quranic part, those Islamic learning, Islamic aspect, that was like rigid, unlike today, right? Our teachers were very strict, right?
True.
So I think from that age, yes, I was blessed, alhamdulillah, and that is what founded my foundation for Islam, alhamdulillah, because I believe that if there wasn't that foundation there, I wouldn't be where I am with my Islam. You understand? So that foundation was very important to me, although it was very like crazy, like I don't know, like the beatings. Do you understand?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
Was
subhanAllah. It was
nonetheless, yeah,
subhanAllah.
nonetheless, our parents did not withdraw us, because I know some kids that when they were like beaten or something, their parents would withdraw them. Do you get? So I'm so thankful for that I was not withdrawn, because that was what founded my foundation, as I said. So the concept of Allah, I think it was from childhood, yes, from right that time, that I understand what it means. Like what, 6 7 years old? Yes, yes. So yeah, from my Islamic school, that's where, yeah, we're taught, and we're taught those six articles of faith: believe in Allah, believe in the books, in Arabic, and in translation. So yes, that's basically where I got, yeah, the meaning of Allah from. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I understand, because I'm born in the 80s as well. So the 80s and the 90s, subhanallah. And even the Asian culture is pretty similar. You do get the beatings. There was always a stick with the teacher, to get us to read and understand. Like, the understanding wasn't really there, but it was more
Oh
about
my God, it
recitation of the
was,
Quran and those kind of
yeah,
things. Yeah. And my grandfather.
exactly.
Subhanallah. My grandfather was a Quran teacher, so usually it was him. He would have a stick with him, and he would be sitting there. But I would, I was his pet, so I would dodge him, and I would just escape. At that point, but Subhanallah, at a much later age, when I started practicing Islam, for me it was, by the time he had passed away, so I really missed him. I was like, Subhanallah, I had this teacher in my home, and I used to dodge him, and then when I really wanted to learn, I didn't he wasn't there. Subhanallah, so I had to go about this so many different paths to learn the Quran. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, that was thing. So I want to know your story. What was it like after that initial understanding? How was it moving forward for you? I'm sure, you'd have had a lot of ups and downs, and what was it like for you?
Okay. My journey, yeah, as I grew up, knowing Allah. So, okay, this is what happened. So, as I mentioned, when I grew up, went to Islamia. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I went to Islamia, and from there, when I completed my primary school, I was living with my family of six, four siblings. I was the second born, first daughter. So my parents decided, I don't know the reason, they decided to send me to my paternal, sorry, no, maternal uncle. My maternal uncle was in another part of the country, the northern part, and we were living in the western part. So I went to start my secondary school there. And that move really changed me, actually, because that was what the relationship with my mom was not there as a teenager, right? So when I went, Okay, I joined my uncle then with his daughter. We went to, I resumed my Islamia back there too. But it wasn't like, you know, as a teenager, it wasn't like the other time that you can do, you can be pushed to do what you want, right? So like, when they say we should go for Islam, you just go, you're not serious, you feel you have a mind of your own, you understand? Even the 5 times daily prayers were almost non-existent. You can imagine that. Yeah. And when I think about it, I look at it like, subhanAllah, like if there's not that foundation there from the onset, in that teenager school, I've gone hurried, has gone the other way, wrong, right? However, because the foundation was there, I was able to, like, okay, come back and during my teenagers, on and off solar, my solar 5 times daily, they're not accurate or stuff, you know, that kind of thing. But there was that fear of Allah there, understand? Alhamdulillah, my own, as a teenager, I wasn't involved in all those kind of partying. No. Mine was book. Like, when I see a book, if I have a book, forget it. I can stay in my room for days. So, yes, that was another part that really kept me nourished, knowledge-wise. And basically, my teenagers were like, I can say they were not crazy. Like usual, normal teenage girls' life, right? No, I wasn't crazy about boys. No, there was nothing like that. There was nothing like that. Like, I was just book reading. It was just reading part. And that was basically it. And alhamdulillah, the Islam too. Yeah, Allah was there, yes. I knew that, even from the young age, I knew that prayer is what is important. If I need anything at all, yes, that I can ask Allah and give me, right? And there was this particular point in my life when I said that I moved from the west to the north for my secondary school, right? I went for the exam, placement exam first, right? And I came back. So during this period, for them to decide whether they're going to take me to that private secondary school, there was this time I was in the toilet. I don't know why I remember this. Only Allah knows, anyway. Because it keeps just popped in my mind. But I think maybe because it's one pivotal part time for my life, I think it has to do with the dua I made, actually. And it might be like what actually made me to believe that dua is answered and can be answered whenever, wherever you want, right? So I made that dua. I was like, Allah, please, let me be accepted into the school. Because I want to adventure, I want to go to new places, make new friends, you understand? So the last prayer I was praying, and alhamdulillah, I was accepted, right? And I left, I moved. So yes, there's that connection. There's been that connection from the onset. As I say, the foundation has been there, even though during my teenage years, it was off, so I was on and off, but fasting was there, actually. Fasting was, I do the fasting. That was, you know, it's comparison. So like, basically, yeah, I can say it was okay. My life from that being a teenager was okay. Then, after teenage years, then I now moved back after completing my secondary school, done the exam that will promote me to university, right? And I came back home. And after that, a lot of stuff has happened. A lot of things that happened. My family, my mom was healed and everything. So eventually, I had to come back and take care of her. Stayed with her in the hospital. So those period too is another awakening time, because then I moved to the villa, where you call village. So from the town, I moved to just take care of her. And you know, that time too, I was around 17, 16, 17 years old. I'm done with my secondary school, so waiting to go to university. There was a cousin of mine too, staying in the villa with me. So she's conscious of Islam too. I think that was a time she too became conscious. She's a teenager too at that time. So like we did it together. At that point, she was the one that I became closer to. So we went to Alaka together, recitation of the Quran and all this stuff. And at that point, yes, my iman really like rose up. And that was when I started using proper hijab that's covering my head. Because in those days, secondary school, that I only use my scarf, just like a scarf, a tie. It's part of our uniform because we're in the northern part. Scarf, we use it, but not use, you know, the scarf covers only the hair, leaves the neck and the hair. So yeah, I started using the hijab to cover my ears, my neck. That was post secondary school. So yes, basically. So should I go into adult? I should stop there.
Alhamdulillah. No, I'm just so immersed in listening to your story, and I'm trying to make my connections, you know, subhanAllah. I'm just thinking about how the journey unfolds for people, right? And I'm just thinking about how diverse we are from different parts of the world, but we are so similar in our human experience of things, right? SubhanAllah, that is what I was thinking about when I was listening to your story. And I was thinking about how, you know, subhanAllah, how what you said about a couple of things that stood out for me from your story is like, one, even though you go through this phase in life, like for example, teenage is what you mentioned, even though you're going through this teenage years where you feel like you're lost, you don't have that connection, even if you have that connection, but the foundation is so important. It's so important. It reminded me of something that I have heard myself, you know, in my life, because I'm also a born Muslim. So I was raised with that foundation. Like I said, with my grandfather was a Quran teacher, and my mom was very strict about prayers and everything. But for us too, like, you know, because coming from the Asian, I'm from India, so in India again, like, you know, there were a lot of distractions in terms of movies and those kind of things, and I was a very distracted teenager, you know. So, and then when subhanAllah, in my 20s, in my early 20s, that's when I started actually practicing, when I was like 24 perhaps, like I started practicing. And I started wearing the hijab and I started praying. I used to pray before, but like what you said, you know, on and off, I would not pray. It was like that. So when once I started practicing, my uncle, my mom's brother, he told my mom, like, you know, it's always the foundation that you give the kids, it always comes back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is what it reminded me of, because this is what I was told for myself too. SubhanAllah. And the second thing that you said was companionship, you know, having that kind of your cousin, that companion for you, whom you could.
Yes.
SubhanAllah, so important, right? To have that companion who can bring you closer to Allah, and you can do things together. You can remember Allah together. So, and it reminded me of the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he says, you know, that you are in the religion of your friend. SubhanAllah, that's so true. With like, and that's what I heard in
exactly.
SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah. So like, you can go on and tell me a little bit about any kind of challenging time in your adulthood. Did you face any kind of challenges that, like, you know, over the time that you felt like your iman is low, or like, you know, you're struggling with your iman at any point?
Of course. I don't think there's anyone that doesn't have that time. So in my teenager, the one I remember vividly is that one. You know, I mentioned about my mom, taking care of my mom in that period. Yeah, that period was really challenging. A teenage girl just coming out of finishing her secondary school, and having the hope, oh yeah, she's going to enjoy the free time that is between university, secondary school, finishing secondary school, university. You understand? For me, maybe to read and read and read, right? But to come to a responsibility so huge on her shoulder to take care of her mother, Yeah, it was an honor, alhamdulillah, right? But, and this was, I mentioned that I went to stay with my maternal uncle, right? So there was no that connection there. There was no that, I don't know, that, you know, those connections when I was younger, some are forgotten, right? Although I still remember some, but that teenage years that you need your mother the most, right? So that connection, that's one thing I just think that movement caused. There was not that connection. So when I came back to take care of her, she was having diabetes. She. We lost her in 1994. Yes. Okay. To diabetes eventually. Allah forgive her, let's find her grave. So when I went back to take care of her, it was not easy. You know that teenage energy, all those things at that period, like, why should I do this? Why do I need to do this? However, alhamdulillah, yes, I did what I had to do, right? I tried as much as possible to do what I had to do. I think, and that's, subhanAllah, I think that was the time. This just occurred to me that Allah gave me to spend with her because of those lost time. So now I'm emotional. It just hit me now.
Yeah,
like, I was just dwelling on, I was all close with her and someone just looked like, okay, maybe that time that she was here was just the time that Allah said she stay with her. But looking at it, it wasn't as if she was talking. No, the illness has gotten her to be delirious, like hallucinations, you understand? She's not her right self. So there's something she was saying, she's saying, and all this kind of stuff. So, but I try as much as possible because of the reawakening I had, I said with my cousin, there was this ustaz that she's also, I always tell him about it. So he would give me duha to make, and I think that was when I even learned this surah and this verse from Surah Al-Imran. Is it Imran or Surah Al-Baqarah? The Amana Rasul. The Amana Rasulullah. So he would give me to Surah Al-Baqarah, okay. So yeah, to recite and other recitations. So those were the things that really, yeah, it was really challenging. And for a year, almost a year, I was staying in the hospital. I even got sick too with her. So I was admitted, like crazy. There was one thing, and that thing that's really, is another pivotal time in my life, I think. That the person that she was close to, loved so much, half-sister, did not come, not even once, to see her. And if you can say she should lay down her life for her, she will have done it. So, you know, you learn a lot of lessons. I learned it like, why? You understand that question? So that was a challenge, actually. And between those times, feeding were difficult, like, to feed three times a day wasn't easy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Okay, we went through it. We got through it. And yeah, alhamdulillah.
First of all, like,
we got through it.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
You know, when you first mentioned it before as well, like, you know, that was another thing that stood out to me about you having to take care of your mom at such a young age. Subhanallah. That itself, like, you know, that's an opportunity, I guess, that Allah gave you. And for a young person, like, you know, in 17 is practically teenage as well, right? And you were a teenager taking care of your mom. And subhanAllah, I can understand how difficult that must have been for you, you know, that period. And definitely, it's not easy. SubhanAllah, may Allah reward you immensely for being there for your mom and taking care of her. And, you know, just that kind of du'as for you, SubhanAllah, because it's not everybody is like that, right? It's kind of like overwhelming to even think that children, there are very few who do that, SubhanAllah. And I'm wondering, like, you know, what helped you in that challenging times? What was the thing that was like an anchor for you? when you were facing those challenges?
What helped me? You know, there was this, there's this saying that I always have. I think, I don't know where I got it from, actually. I think it was big from when I was little, because I can remember even when I was staying with my uncle. You know, there are sometimes they'll do some things. I'm like, oh, if I was living with my parents, this wouldn't happen. Do you get? Mm-hmm. And there's sometimes we do something so horrible or terrible, and you know the repercussion is going to be immense, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So, like, when I was in that position, I always say, okay, this is a trial now. It's not going to last forever. It's mm-hmm. going to go away, which mm-hmm. definitely goes away. Yeah, it will go. It will not be like that forever. Mm-hmm. So I think that saying, that thought, like, yeah, did keep me going. Mm-hmm. The fact that, of course, it's not going to be there forever. I'm going to do it, go through it, and like it's begun, right? Mm. So that saying gave me hope. And yes, that's one major thought. That thought, I'm still thinking where I got that from. I'm sure maybe I read it somewhere. So, so like, it's not going to be there forever. It's going to go away. The trials will come, right? Fine, we don't know how long, but it's definitely going to go away. So that was part of the thing that I know, okay, this will definitely go away. And yes, I'm better for it. And the hardship during those periods will definitely go away. And alhamdulillah, when I look back, I don't even remember those hardships sometimes. So you get, unless when I sit down, I really think about it. So that's how Allah subhanAllah, that makes us forget those times. Yes, sometimes. Because if he gives us that to remember everything, subhanAllah, I don't think we'll be able to move forward.
That's
so alhamdulillah for that. Yeah, for that, for those things. Yes, Allah put in us, yes, to forget some of those sufferings. Because when we are in it, we feel like it's like going to last forever. Which is not true. And that's one thing, yes, that keeps me going. Then another thought, another thing is that, fine, this thing is this now. And of course, the Quran again, Allah says it, that is going to test us, right? With key, with children, with wealth. That we can't just say we believe and we leave us like that. And we're going to be tested. So that is another thing. Like the Quran on its own a balm, a soothing balm to the heart when you're feeling dejected, when you're feeling lonely. And I think I used to listen to recitations too. I read a lot of Islamic texts too. So I think those things that I read, contributed to my being able to overcome all this. It wasn't easy, but like, alhamdulillah.
It does, like what you said, like, you know, it does appear like it's the end of the world when we're in that, right? But then I completely agree with you, because like everything is moving forward. We are moving forward. So there's no like, you know, and what you said, it was interesting that, and I want our listeners to also pay attention to that, is it's, you know, you don't even remember about it most of the times, like the ordeals, then the challenges faced, right? SubhanAllah. And when you look back on it, it's like all that you can see is the lessons that you derived from that. And
yeah,
SubhanAllah, it doesn't even seem like that big of a deal anymore, because, and in that moment when we're going through it, it seems as if like it's something huge. SubhanAllah. And I guess that's something to learn from as well, like it's nothing lasts forever, they say, right? Nothing lasts forever. So it's even when you are going through that moment, it's just the momentary thing, and it's mostly coming from ourselves than coming from anywhere else in that moment, because we are like trying to find a way out of something, our created struggle, you know. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah, that's so interesting. And it's interesting how human beings work, and that's the part of the human experience which intrigues me, you know, like subhanAllah, we can be coming from any part of the world, but in the human experience we are so collective in that we are the same.
Yeah,
the way we experience things, subhanAllah. Yeah. In the psychology of it, it's the same. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, and also, like, you know, hanging on to the rope of Allah, hanging on to the Quran, subhanAllah. I guess these are some of the things that help us move forward, subhanAllah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah for being a Muslim.
Alhamdulillah, subhanAllah. It's such a blessing, and also, like, you know, the hidayah itself, like, you know, the path to hidayah, the it's nothing but from the mercy of Allah, subhanAllah. He chooses to guide us, and we are forever in gratitude for the way He chooses to guide us, and subhanAllah, alhamdulillah. So
and you know what, sorry, can I mention this? When you say hidayah, guidance, right?
Guidance,
brought up something.
Yeah,
and this was like, it's another part that I think, subhanAllah, when I look back to, I'm like, wow, what would have happened if that thing had not come in? So, can I quickly say this story? Let me share this story.
I
got to university, right? Okay, I got admitted 100 level, that's level one, and I started following a group of people, a group of women. We're from the same secondary. Some of us were from the same secondary school. So they were Muslim Christian. One thing I can't remember. I thought I was only Muslim, right? So we were going together, we're in the same faculty. And before you know it, you know, I told you I started using hijab on my holiday, the break between secondary school. I flunked it. I removed my hijab.
SubhanAllah.
And you know what? I removed my hijab because of the association. As they say, the five people you move with, friends. As my cousin was a good way, you know, another people can be bad. So, you know, in short, that thing is very true. The friends you keep are very important. So you just don't know what will happen. You will just do that thing and you feel it's right. Because you are in that group. So I removed this hijab. So we go to lecture. My hair is there. Then, do you know what? That period that was in my village dimension, as I was going for that Allah call, there's a brother I met through there. The brother, Abdul, I pray that Allah bless him. We still talk. And he saw me as we were passing, because when we're going to lecture, we leave the guest system and pass through the voice system. And he saw me, and the person called me. He called me my name. Like, wow, this person knows me. Like, when I turned and I saw him,
subhanAllah.
And how did he know me? He knew me with wearing hijab, right? The first time we met and everything, he knew that I used hijab. So when he saw me, was like, wow. You know that shame and everything. So alhamdulillah. So he now called me. He asked, okay, we should meet. And he now started talking to me, giving me dawah. I'm the last, I used it back. So I'm always thinking of that point, like, subhanAllah, if the intervention has not come in, well, I don't know. So that's like, when you mention hidayah, I'm like, wow, that's another time, yes.
SubhanAllah. So many lessons, subhanAllah, to learn from, you know, to gain from the experiences, subhanAllah. The intervention that comes, that is hidayah, right? And also, I'm just thinking, you know, one is the intervention, the second, it's like the company that you keep, like you said, subhanAllah, how it can just, like, it's just about fitting in, you know, you just want to be wanting to belong somewhere, I guess. So I know that feeling all too well as well, because I think most of us, we have been through that stage in our lives where we have been influenced by our friends and we have done things which are not very proud of, subhanAllah. And then hidayah comes in, subhanAllah. It's such a huge mercy of Allah, subhanAllah. And it reminds me that, you know, we are not going to be going to Jannah because of what we do, because of our deeds, you know. It's we are going to Jannah because of Allah's mercy, not because of the deeds we
do. Exactly. My husband the other day said, it's not the sins we're doing, you know. It's because of Allah's mercies. That's just, if you look at just the things we've done alone, oh my God, almost all of us, all of us not even get to smell Jannah, but because of his mercy. Alhamdulillah.
And subhanAllah, I don't know, it's like, I just want to touch upon one more thing is that, with regards to that, with the regards to that, just adding to it, you know, is that, and the amount, like the way we feel, like, you know, we do one small thing and we think that, oh, we have done so much. Right? We think, like, but then when you look at it, these deeds are nothing. They are nothing, you know, if they're taken into account. Yes, we do need to do good deeds. Yes, they are going to add to the weight, you know, on the mizan, on the day of judgment. But then ultimately, it's Allah's mercy. So you are at Allah's mercy, whether you like it or not. Subhanallah. So that is profound for me. Subhanallah, when I think about it, you know. Subhanallah, yes. Subhanallah. Yes. So many beautiful lessons to learn from, subhanAllah, from your story and your experiences, subhanAllah. So I want to know, Sister Rahima, right at this point in your life, like, you know, wherever you are right now, how do you support yourself in growing spiritually? I know you said that you have this connection with the Quran, and you read a lot, which again is something which I endorse myself, and I'm also an avid reader. You read a lot, you have this connection with the Quran. Along with that, is there anything else that supports you in keeping your spirituality and connection with Allah?
Oh, subhanAllah, a lot, yes. I'm also a personal development, I won't say junkie, lover. Yeah, a personal development lover. Because I always love to get knowledge so that I'm more informed. And in all aspects, Islamic part, secular part, wise, and everything. So for me, the Quran now, it seems like old age. Not old age, actually. I'm 45. Yeah, 45 this year. So it's like as you grow older, that wisdom comes, like, you just, this world will just be like nothing to you. That's what's happened to me, actually. So, like, I try as much as possible to live minimal as possible, right? Yeah. Those things that used to entice me before, I remember that designer clothes, designer shoes, I was crazy about that at some point in life, right? Yeah. But no, they just don't mean nothing. They mean nothing now. Like,
oh my God, I can't believe that so much.
Oh, subhanAllah. You know, the quest you have to have something, designer, just the name. So at this point, those things just look minimal. They are just don't count. Just get yourself a durable bag or shoe that you know is okay and use it. Subhanallah. So that's another look to life. Yes, I think is human nature. And I think majority, that's what the Quran say, like when you reach 40, you pray for your parents and so. I think as you grow older, you get wiser. I'm sure most people, go through this, but there are some people, of course, that will not acknowledge that. And those are ego, all those stuff. So as I grow older, I just know that there are some things that are not just, they just don't make sense. I don't need them any longer. Like, I need to focus. So okay, let me go back to when I left my job. I left my job in 2019, August. That was almost 3 years ago. I got to that point, like, I need to use my gift. Like, I was just dissatisfied with where I was working. I enjoyed initially, but when it got to a point after 13 years, I wasn't having it right. So when I left, I now started entrepreneuring to be the coach. I had this notion, I don't know, like where it came from, to separate my business from my spirituality. And that got me, oh my God, got me where I did not want. You know, when you're like, oh, I don't want people to think that I'm putting too much religion, do you get, into business. You understand that kind of thing? I try to compartmentalize it, but I boomeranged on me because I was living, I was thinking it was by my effort, which isn't. I was thinking the outcome, the results were going to be from my effort. Fine, I'm going to do my part, but the result and outcomes are for Allah. Allah says, be, come, fire, come. It should be. If not, it's not going to happen, no matter how long, how hard you work, right?
Yeah.
So I had to learn that the hard way, and I have to come back like, girl, I need to put everything in Allah's hand, whether business, your personal life, everything. And Islam is a way of life. You can't separate one thing from the other. You can't separate your vision. So I realized that, right? So that's one thing again. And I realized that as a journey. And in being in company of people, for me, another way is coaching. I have two coaches that I brought in the UK with my business when I started. So it's Islam-based coaching, right? It's not all those that use something that are not related to Islam. So they are Muslim. So they it's called TMC, Thriving Muslim Coach. So they use Islam principles for all the coaching. Do you get? So it's aligned with what I want. So I get my professional stuff from there. Then spiritually, I recently with a group, Tadabur, that's Women of Tadabur. So we reflect on the Quran. It's a community of women that have the same wish to be connected with Quran through reflection. So I'm there. So that is like nourishing my spiritual spirituality with the Quran. I love that so much. Then the other part of another personal development, I have a community of Muslim majorly. I don't know if you know of Sheikh Mohammed Al-Sharif. He's the owner of Al-Maghrib, founder of Al-Maghrib, and Discover You. So there's a community, Discover You, that belong to the Doha, the Dream Worker. You know, those are programs, those personal development programs. So it gives me that iman boost and everything. When you're in the midst of the people you have like things with, like-minded. So that those community really fill me up. So if I'm down with anything or I have issue, just go there. It's a safe space, talk to people. So, and I've made friends that are accountable. You know, it's just beautiful. I mean, Muslim, I have a lot of Muslim community that you make friends from, and they are friends that will take you to Jannah. Because they will look out for you, what you do, right? Yeah. And they will be there to be like a guide. So like I have that around me. Alhamdulillah for it. I don't take it for granted. I'm so thankful to Allah every day for giving me the resources to be able to partake in all this. Alhamdulillah. So those are some of the things that keep my iman boosted.
Alhamdulillah. That's all great things. Like, you know, I'm hearing community, I'm hearing you know, I'm having the understanding of you know, that nothing needs to be separate. Like, you know, your business doesn't need to be separate from your life. It's all inclusive because Islam is inclusive. So, alhamdulillah, Islam is that thing that, you know, that incorporates every single thing. Subhanallah. So I alhamdulillah, and jazakallahu khairan for sharing that with us. Alhamdulillah. So just before we wrap up, one final question is that if there was one thing you'd want our listeners to take away from your story and whatever you shared on this conversation, what would that be?
Oh, one thing. I think the one thing is to just trust Allah. Trust Him, the tawakkul. Just trust Him. Let's go and let Allah and do it. Dig it. Like, most times we think we want to be in control, right, of our life. And we think, I feel we are in control, but it's a lie. It's not true. We are never in control of this life, right? So the main thing, no matter where you are in life, definitely we know it. The Quran said, Allah said that he's going to try us, right? Absolutely. So know that, and he says that you try, you just call on him if there's any issue. So have that tawakkul. Whatever issue you are in, just know that he's there, Allah is there. You don't even need any money. You don't need any currency, dollar, whatever, to get to him before you can call on him. Anywhere, just call on him and have that tawakkul. Whatever you ask him, we do it. It might not be in the way you want, in the form, but he will definitely, surely do it because he says he will. And Allah's word is always the truth. Yeah.
Indeed, subhanAllah. And that's, I think, the best advice that you can give, you know, to the listeners, the best takeaway, alhamdulillah, to have the tawakkul and to have the complete and to let go of the control, the element of control, because we don't control anything. And that's the truth and the reality of how we are created, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah. So, Jazakallah khairan, Sister Rahima, for being here. And that was really wonderful connecting with you. Just before I let you go, would you like to tell, share with our listeners, like in case they want to connect with you, how and where can they connect with you?
Okay, mentally, you can connect with me on Instagram. I'm usually there. I think I'm more active there than other platforms. So Instagram and Facebook, but majorly Instagram. So my Instagram is my name, @OdushaTerahima. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe you can put it in the link. Just OdushaTerahima. O-D-U-S-O-T-E-R-A-H-M-A. So that, and yes, that's the best way. You can just DM me if there's anyone that wants to speak with me. And with anything that has to do with my book or my resources, yes, they're there too on Instagram. So we can connect there, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallahu khairan for that. And it was a pleasure having you. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you for having me. It was interesting. Thank you, yes.
Alhamdulillah.
I enjoyed it too.
Likewise. Alhamdulillah.
You were listening to the Nafs Connection podcast brought to you by Level 10 Muslimah Life Coaching. To learn more about me and how you can work with me, visit my website www.level10muslimah.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram under level10muslimah.life.coaching. Stay tuned for more stories. This is your host Seema Azmat, aka Umrayan, signing off. Until next time, stay blessed.